better Terry Pratchett than that pun motherfucker.
Oh, Piers Anthony?
Right.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we talk to Funny Eric. He's a vilifier, he's on the cast of the Renaissance Festival, and we're going to talk about how he used to be mega Catholic.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Tim Wick.
That's me.
And Nick Glover.
Hey.
And we are having a very special, it's our first Fest episode. We're recording from the glamorous festival trailer.
The glamorous trailer studios.
And our guest today is young Eric Thompson.
Hello.
He is one of the recent additions to the vilification tennis in the last couple of years. He was my, I was his coach, and he was my amateur, I guess, is the way to put it.
He was your young Padawan.
He was my Padawan. Yeah.
And he carried on the legacy of winners.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And and also he is Pietro the Poet out here at Renaissance Festival with us.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome, Eric.
Second year?
Yes, this is my second year out here. My character, as Molly said, is Pietro the Poet. I wander around the streets asking for words, reading poetry, stuff like that.
Also, Eric is the host, one of three hosts of the High Five Guys podcast.
Yep.
Which goes up weekly, roughly.
We're aiming for Wednesdays. Yeah. September's a little rough with Fest, and Jason's getting married, so...
Ah, what an asshole.
Yeah.
I hate people who get married.
I do, too. Right?
What a bunch of fuckers.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I married a couple fuckers yesterday, man. Like, yeah. I did a wedding, and I was just like, I hate you.
I bet they were all like, oh, I'm so happy.
They were. They were literally glowing with sweat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're...
It was super gay. A guy and a girl, man. It was just like the gayest thing I ever saw.
What the hell?
I know. All right, well, and so one of the reasons we wanted to talk to young Eric is he is an atheist. And not just that, though. You spent some time in the church as a youth, really...
Were you like a youth minister? Is that what I heard? Oh.
No. I was an altar server for a while.
Oh.
What denomination?
Roman Catholic.
Roman Catholic.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, yeah, special.
Was in Latin and stuff sometimes, then?
Sometimes. They did some songs and things in Latin. There weren't many things that the congregation would participate in Latin.
Hmm.
But there was definitely Latin in there.
And so you said that you were an altar server. What I know that you had mentioned to me once that you you were very not devout. You were very enthusiastic, and it was mistaken for devotion.
Yeah. So when you're young and you're not of that age where you can start to question, like, authorities and things like that.
Right.
When they're older than you and they tell you how something is, you believe them.
Of course.
So
half of why religion works.
Yeah. So when I was younger, I started getting involved during the masses at church. I would hand out books in the morning, like, before the mass, do some of the collections and stuff like that, so was an usher, which meant that during the mass, I got to get up and walk around. Instead of just doing, Catholicenics.
The Catholicenics, remember those.
So,
on your knees, stand
sit,
up,
stand,
on your knees, sit, stand.
Kneel, feel the burn, feel the burn. That's hell.
It's just another level of indoctrination.
And then becoming an altar server, so that meant that most of the mass, I was up walking around and doing things. And kind of sitting up in front of the room, being able to people watch a bit.
See who's sleeping.
Yeah.
Judge.
And they had the guy who played the organ was kind of off to the side behind like a wall where you couldn't see him from the congregation.
Sure.
But I could, and that was really interesting.
Sitting up
on the altar with that.
Tell some dirty jokes. Well,
surprising no one now, you had an interest in the theater of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what that is.
That
I mean,
makes
it's
sense.
You're watching the pageantry.
Yeah. But the thing that really got me looking back on it is that I was doing all of these things because I was bored. But what everyone was telling me is that I was being devout. I was being, a model person in the church. That, I was very faithful and all these things. And at that age, it was like, oh, I'm doing these things and they say this is what it means. So that must be true. So as I grew up, I kept thinking that I was faithful, that I was devout, and kind of getting pulled into that sort of thing. And it really permeated the home life, too.
Okay.
My dad, and you'll laugh at this, my dad had one spot on the couch where he would always read, and he was reading one of two things. He was reading the Bible or the Dark Tower series.
So the Bible or my Bible.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fantastic.
So
I don't understand how you could spend so much time reading the Bible because it's so fucking boring.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're supposed to do.
Well,
though.
I know, but I mean, when you're reading it, do you
contemplate? I think it's you're supposed to like read it and then see how you can relate that to your life in some way. Like
try to figure out what it means.
Yeah.
I mean, even, and I spoke at length with my minister uncle about this once, and he was saying that the act of reading it, even if you're not really paying attention to it, that's why he likes to listen to the Bible on audiobook. Just the act of reading or hearing the words is devout. And is giving glory to God. And so just sitting there, just flipping through the Bible is better than nothing. And so people will do that as a way of feeling like they're praying without having to think about it much, which, irony.
That sounds ridiculous to me because, you know, at work when I'm listening to something and not paying attention, it's usually a podcast.
Right.
Well, thanks a lot, Eric. Music,
you know. Yeah.
Bunch of fuckfaces yakking about my tickle.
But I mean, just random background noise, just kind of listening to it while you're doing other things, that doesn't sound like faithful to me at all.
I agree. And that's it's funny because you say that, you know, you were the idea that you could just be a bored kid, just literally just finding ways to kill time during these hour, 2 hour masses is, and that could be mistaken for devotion, really speaks more to the what the church is looking for, and that's complacency. Right. That's they want complete, and you were being complacent, and you were doing as you were told, and that's devotion, and that's fucking awful.
It is. It's horrible.
It was the lesser of evils for you, the less boring of evils.
Yes. And it wasn't until when I got to college that it's like Sunday morning rolls around, and it's like I could wake up and go to church, or I could sleep, and sleep wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sleep always wins.
Yeah,
sleep's great.
So it was trying to kind of puzzle through that, like, well, I really don't want to go to church, and starting to realize, well, I'm doing things because, you know, it's something else to do. Like going home to visit my parents on the weekend, and we would go to church, and I would not be ushering because they would have like the normal ushers that were there, and sitting there and realizing how just incredibly boring this whole thing was, and how disinterested I was.
Oh God, church! I mean, the boredom of being at church is what got me out of church.
Yeah.
Eventually, it was just I don't remember if I talked about this. My dad actually studied for a while to be a Catholic priest. So I'm glad that didn't work out. But
so are we.
But
because more kids don't need to be molested.
I know. Yeah.
Less rape and concern. Yeah.
So, but he obviously chose not to become a priest, but he was an avid golfer. He loved to golf, and he would golf every weekend morning that he could, including Sunday mornings. And so there was this deal, because he'd let my brother and I go along when we were kids, and we'd just walk along with him and talk with him, and every now and again he'd let us hit a golf ball and all this other crap. But it was like this thing between my brother and I as to which one of us would get to go golfing on Sunday morning and which one of us would have to go to church. Because I tell you what, walking on a golf course, way more interesting than church.
Well, you get to see all of God's majesty.
And I had to go golfing, you had to get up like 3 hours early.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because the tee time was at 7:30 in the morning or some insane shit like that.
Before it gets hot.
Yeah. And so we would go golfing instead of going to church every other week.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the winter sucked because there was no golf.
Nothing but church in the winter.
And it was so boring.
What
I looked forward to was communion. For two reasons. Communion was after the sermon. That meant the sermon was fucking done.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we didn't have breakfast before we went to church, so I was hungry. And my church, they did fresh baked bread. They had different people. Though. So you get this
wafers.
You get this big chunk of really good bread, and it was amazing.
You're a heathen Catholic church.
It was. We were a hippy-dippy Catholic church. I mean, we're a hippy-dippy Catholic church, and it was still boring as fuck.
Yeah.
Like,
Eric, you didn't kind of like figure it out that you had an option until college, which meant not until after you were an adult, which means you still had time to like get tattoos.
I did.
If you wanted. So,
what?
Yeah.
Have you not seen Eric's tattoo?
No.
Can you see it in your costume? We'll describe it.
We got to take a picture.
It is a giant cross on his over his heart.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you thought about getting it turned into something else?
I've thought about it. So the story about getting it, I was going through some hard times in college because that's what you do at college.
Yeah.
That's the age.
You're hitting that age where you're starting to figure things out and it starts to mess with you. Your body's changing.
You're alone, kind of.
Yeah. The only place I felt like I had community was at home with these nice people that I grew up with.
Sure.
The familiar.
Yeah. So I remember specifically talking to my parents about this and my dad telling me, no, you need to think about this. Don't get something stupid. Don't get, like, you know, a dragon or whatever it might be. And I remember saying, well, I'm going to get a cross. How would I ever regret that?
There'll always be Jesus.
What's super funny is if you'd gotten a dragon, that would be way more appropriate now for your life.
Right?
Yeah. It'd be like, sweet dragon tattoo, dude. Yeah. Like, I know, right? This 18-year-old me was brilliant.
I don't know. Like, I feel like if that was a part of your life that led to who you are now,
sure,
and it was meaningful enough, or is at least has an attachment to a period of your life well enough where it mattered then it's not necessarily a regretful tattoo, even though you might not hold those same beliefs, because
I think it's a totally regretful tattoo.
It's a reminder of your time period, not necessarily the
life. Every time you look at your chest in the mirror, you can go, I hope I'm never that stupid again.
To me, I remember community with it. Sure. That's what it represents for me. Mm-hmm. The problem I have is the connotation that it brings when other people see it.
That's
the thing that bothers
me. Were I to be in possession of your tattoo, I believe what I would do is get it not covered up or anything, but just like some banners or on the top and bottom to make it say no gods, no masters.
Right.
And around the cross and that way if someone does see it, it is at
just
best
Ghostbusters just put a circle slash around it.
Yeah. Or have it turned into a sword. Like you could have it turned into a pretty sweet sword.
I could.
And that would look pretty
style.
And that would look because it's a very Roman Catholic cross.
It
so
is.
It does look like it has a hilt. I mean you could easily turn it into that.
It looks a lot like a T. So yeah. I was thinking, you know, maybe get
Thompson.
Something written.
It's for my last name.
Maybe like exist or I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Something, but I still think it would. Yeah.
A period theist. That's my name.
I think the thing that bugs me the most right now is that it's my only tattoo.
Oh.
I'm planning to correct that at some point.
I would find a tattoo artist and go in and I don't want it to be a cross anymore, but I don't want to just cover it up with something else. Like, you know, there's some people around in Minneapolis who are very talented at that sort of thing.
Uptown Tattoo
does.
Like, they do cover-ups, like, amazing work.
Right, right.
You can also get it lasered off. There's some really good laser places around, too. I've considered getting my it's supposed to be a compass on my Achilles heel that's supposed to be like a compass
rose.
Star, like a compass, and instead the guy just took it upon himself to color it all in solid and lesson to you, when you're on your stomach getting a tattoo on a part of your body that you can't watch them do, you're at their mercy. And he was done and he's like, I just filled it in, I think it looks better. And so it kind of looks like a cross, but with like a little bit of a starburst behind it, unfortunately. And so I've thought about just getting it lasered off just because I don't even know what they could do because it's solid.
I don't have any tattoos because anytime I think about getting a tattoo, I'm like, is this something that I'm going to want on my body 30 years from now? And I never come up with the answer yes. I'm always like, I don't know.
The only tattoo I regret.
Want, like an Indiana Jones hat on your arm?
That'd be kind of cool, I guess.
Or like a whip wrapped around your forearm.
But I want it on my crusty old man arm in 30 years? I don't think I would.
But you know, like, I think that speaks volumes to just how, you know, in your head the church can get.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
at that age, I definitely would have said, yes, I want this on my body for the rest of my life. But
it's only your mortal body, after all.
The thing is, why would you ever think it is literally your as far as you think at that point, your faith, your moral code, like the center of your community and family and everything, and it really does speak as to how difficult it is to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And what that, I mean, the transition from being devoutly religious, whether it was, you know, true or not. Mm-hmm. Or even being perceived that way can right. really be a difficult transition into atheism, and why, you know, when we talk about being, you know, speaking up and being counted, and we know it's hard for people, and that's one of the reasons is mm-hmm. it's hard to admit to yourself, let alone literally everybody else.
So, yeah, and speaking of that, at Convergence, you and I actually, late one night, you were talking a little bit about making that transition, and
yeah.
And I was wondering if you could share that story, because I thought it was pretty interesting.
So, you're talking about the one about my wife and
yeah.
the church, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, when my wife and I, when we were engaged, it was long distance. We were trying to plan for the wedding and things like that, and one of the things that she had brought up was where we should get married.
Mm.
And I still had feelings that I should get married in the church that I grew up with.
You're still feeling that Catholic guilt that you should be religious.
Yeah.
Which is Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And she was living out here at the moment. And she didn't have a problem with it. And we were talking about it, and once I was looking into it, they were saying, well, if you want to get married in this church, we need both of you to be here for classes that we can, in more words, essentially judge you.
Oh, yeah.
So we can tell you whether or not we think you're right. fit to be married together.
Mm-hmm. So, and this seemed completely normal to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it felt a little bit odd, but wasn't really questioning it. And I started talking to Jess and said, okay, here's the deal. We'd need to take these classes to get married in this church. And she said, how did she put it? So you want me to fly out so we can sit in a church and have them decide if it's okay for us to get married?
Yeah.
And at that point, I really had no answer. It was just...
yeah.
It was like, you know, you have an excellent point. That is ridiculous.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. No. I recently found out, and I don't remember which listener told me this, but many states, including Minnesota, many states offer a discount on marriage licenses for people who have gone through religious counseling.
Yeah,
and religious or any kind.
You can't go through counseling as a.
There's no
atheist.
Other kind of. There's no other.
It's
kind
like
of,
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes, there's no
you're
pre-marriage.
Required to go into treatment, yeah. but the only treatment we have yes, is also
there's
non-secular.
No, there's no pre-marriage. Yeah. There's no pre-marriage counseling that's secular generally, because generally, if you're going for that, it's because you want to get married in some sort of
right.
church that requires
like
it.
Seems like something that like an awesome, not even necessarily atheist, but secular counselor. A service they would offer on the side pro bono, just so that it exists.
I want to know if it's something that I can offer. I want to know if I have to be certified as a counselor, if I can just say, oh no, I talked to them and met them.
A priest hasn't had any, most priests haven't had any education as
a
counselor.
No, but they still get considered, like, they're considered.
Well, maybe because they're a priest.
Exactly.
To be fair, I'm just going to use the example that's most familiar to me. My grandfather, who's a Lutheran minister.
Yeah.
Has a psychology degree. He's a doctor. Like he is qualified to make those decisions. But it has nothing to do with his religious training.
In the seminary,
you know,
they go through
his
some
seminary
stuff,
degree. It has everything to do
some.
With his his legitimate school training.
Well, I'm sure they go through some in the seminary, but
sure.
if you go through some counseling training, and you don't know if your priest got a D in that class.
No, it's
you know
true.
You
right.
don't know if they suck at mm-hmm. it, but yeah. they get to be a counselor anyway by virtue of being a priest.
Literally by virtue of being a priest.
And that's kind of messed up.
Well, and is he considered to have that knowledge because of his degree?
No.
Or is it because of him being a minister?
Mm-hmm.
I completely... Yeah, it's very... The transition, I think, is a big step for a lot of people. And it's something we've talked about here and there with a lot of our guests, is that, you know, making that leap from mm-hmm. faith to not even from faith to reason, but from faith to being able to say, you know what, I'm okay to let go of this. Like, not let go and let God, but let go of God and trust in myself mm-hmm. and my own morals and the people around me, and to know that I don't need, you know, eternal reward.
Right.
You know, I think it's a big, you know, it's a huge step as a human being to look around and say, this is enough. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm looking around and this is enough. I don't need more. I don't need better.
I think you also be greedy.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Is your wife, she's non-belief as well?
Oh, correct.
Yeah.
Was she raised that way?
No.
She was raised, she had
her mom is, I believe it's evangelical.
Oh,
yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I think one of her biggest steps was when she moved away, because she grew up in Chicago.
Mm.
And she went to school up here and got a job out of school and stayed here. And I think it was that distance that helped her.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
When I, of course, moved out here with her, it was easy for me to say that I was an atheist because I'm not surrounded by a lot of people saying, no, this is what you should think you are.
It's probably easy for her, too. Same reason.
So when you got
to reinvent yourself.
So when you got married, then you did not get married in church? Or?
It was technically a church. It was an old... It was an old kind of mansion church thing that was kind of rebuilt and finished. So it had these giant, beautiful stained glass windows
and a
huge
cool.
pipe organ. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't used for religious ceremonies.
Ah,
it was kind of restored.
It was historically a church, but...
Right.
Yeah. I would totally love to get married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pipe organ? Yeah, I'm all for it.
Yeah. It was like the entire wall was this giant pipe organ.
Oh,
very cool.
I love... your wife posting on Facebook, it's so great because I get to, she makes me like homesick for Dungeons and Dragons because she'll post like, ha ha ha, like TPK, so-and-so rolled a one, like ha ha, like, you know, we killed some orcs or whatever the fuck. And she's World of Warcraft, right? She's super gung-ho.
She did a while ago.
She,
we've stepped away from that. That's actually how we met.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. We knew each other for... years, and as far as you know the geek side of things, I find it interesting when people are like, you met playing a game? That's so stupid. And it's like, oh, you mean besides like picking someone up in a bar and saying, you know, hey, you look cute, let's
we already knew we had a shared interest.
Over shared interests and got to know each other in what I've always considered getting to know someone online to be the purest form of getting to know someone, because you get to be for a lot of us nerds especially, you get to totally be yourself. You don't have that awkward shyness that a lot of us get around the other, you know, the other
time to frame your words.
You get time, yes, and you can actually, you know, I mean, granted, there is going to be a small percentage of catfishing going on and that and all that, but like you get to. You know, you get to know the person before you see them a lot of times. And a lot of times, you know, there were times when I, you know, I'm not going to say fell in love, but fell in deep admiration and like with someone before I knew what he looked like. And then I would be like, oh. And inside you're like, but, all right, I probably never would have talked to that guy.
She married me anyway.
But seriously, like, I mean, friends and everything. I mean, there's people I probably never would have talked to because I just wouldn't have. And I got to know them. It's great. Sorry, that's my ice.
And you spend a lot of time, you know, we knew each other for a few years before we actually started dating long distance.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's interesting to just be able to speak to somebody and know them. It's like a close friend at that point. Mm-hmm. It's somebody that...
it's weird to meet someone that you've known. Isn't that a strange thing to go into a coffee shop or whatever, wherever you're meeting, and to look and be like, Jessica, and it's like, Eric, oh my God. And it's like, it's an awkward first few minutes, but then you realize that you've talked for years. Yeah. I mean, you know everything.
Are you guys gonna go back to WoW for Warlords of Draenor?
Probably not.
There's a corgi pet.
I saw that.
They have a corgi. He's so cute.
Yeah.
His name is Codex.
I will never play World of Warcraft because it will forever dominate my destiny.
Yeah, there
That's
was
just not. It's not safe. It's not a safe place for me.
I won't smoke crack for a similar reason. I have a feeling. Yeah,
hey, we're playing Diablo 3 right now.
We just started. Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Well, Eric, this has been great. Are you ready for 5 questions?
I think I am.
All
damn well better be because it's that time.
It's happening.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 1. What is the best movie that you've seen in the last 30 days?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Of course it is. Fuck yeah, it is. Of course it is. Go listen to our episode about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Unless you don't want to hear spoilers. But you should have seen it already, so what the fuck?
Yeah.
Or go see it again and then listen to the episode.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so... Oh, God, Chris Pratt.
Go listen to the episode, then go watch it again so you'll know how right we were.
Oh, my God, Chris Pratt. Yeah. Oh, he's so great. Did you hear? Oh,
there was this article. I don't know if you guys read this about the Guardians of the Galaxy, written by some, I think it was New York Times douchebag, who's like, post-plot. You know, it's a post plot film. I watched the movie and it's like 30 minutes in, I realized there was no plot. I'm like, are you fucking moronic? Of course, there's a plot.
I hate film critics sometimes.
And the thing is, he's like talking about this like this is a new thought.
Yeah.
I've read this article for the last 20 years, yeah. Anytime a like popcorn film comes out, yeah. And someone's like, oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark is post-plot. It's like, no, there's a plot. It's a plot. Hero's journey plot. Whatever. Yeah. Get the fuck over it.
Radio's ruining our children's minds.
Yeah.
Not every fucking movie can be Schindler's List. Get the fuck over it.
I have to say, I don't know if you saw this. This story was going around like Thursday, Friday. But so Chris Pratt, on the set of the movie, he stole his Star-Lord jacket, the leather jacket.
Because you should.
He stole it because he wanted to go to children's hospitals and visit kids as Star-Lord.
Oh,
and he's been doing
awesome.
It. And that is he's like, you know what? No, I need this jacket and I'm not going to ask. I'm
they
just going to take it.
They sell those jackets.
Yep. And so he took it and he went to some hospitals and with toys and showed up as Star-Lord and played the character, cosplayed like totally, not Chris Pratt, Star-Lord. And it's just all these pictures of kids like beaming and hugging him and just it's so great.
Awesome. He's
a
man.
Good guy.
So yeah.
Question number two: who is your favorite atheist character?
See, I had some difficulties with this one, thinking through some of it. One of my favorite atheist moments, I think, is to a character that's maybe more agnostic, which that falls to Huey Freeman from The Boondocks.
Oh,
sure.
There's an episode where one of the side characters starts his own religion.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. And during that episode, Huey is trying to figure out a way to save a guy that's in prison on death row.
Yeah.
And he's trying all kinds of ridiculous things. He's sending letters to the governor, saying that he has a gay lover and they know about it. And he, you know, they're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe why wouldn't he? Kind of thing. So what ends up happening is he needs a ride to the prison for one last crazy attempt to try and save him.
Sure.
And his grandfather is going to try and stop their friend who had started his own religion. And they're kind of getting an argument. And it gets to a point where his grandfather tells him to pray for his friend.
Right.
And the reply that Huey gives to his grandfather is, "What makes your God any less made up than his?"
Oh, nice.
That's great.
And it kind of keeps going, and the only part I don't like about it is he's helpless at one, just in the end, mm-hmm. kind of staring towards the prison, and he's just kind of talking to himself, saying,
yeah.
"I've never prayed before, I don't know who I would even pray to, the world shouldn't be like this," kind of thing.
Yeah.
And when I was looking for the episode, there are lots of things saying, "See, he became religious near the end."
He's just wishing.
Right.
Wishing isn't praying.
And then
I wish for things all the time.
Yeah. And in the very final scene, he's doing kind of a voiceover, and the guy gets saved because of the anonymous call he put in to the governor.
Yeah.
And he's saying, "I don't know if there is a higher power, but I believe we make our own miracles."
There you go.
Perfect.
That's
perfect.
Man, that show, it was so fucking good. And this mm-hmm. newest season, Cartoon Network owns the rights to the show. Mm-hmm. And is it Aaron Magruder?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't own the rights to the show. And so they're like, "Well, we're going to do another season of this, but you're not going to be involved with it."
Yeah.
But I guess Aaron Magruder isn't too butthurt about it because he has his other show on Adult Swim that just started, Black Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is live action.
I don't have an opinion yet. It's weird. It's too weird to I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about it sometime after you have an opinion.
All right, question number three, what's your geekiest hobby?
Well, we mentioned earlier that I'm a poet out here. I would have to say that my geekiest hobby has to be with poetry, writing poetry, and knowing like poetry formats.
Ah.
For instance, the Japanese formats get really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They did something a long time ago, started in the 1100s, that was known as haikai, which is like a linked poem.
Okay.
So that's multiple people writing the same things together. First stanza is 5-7-5, then it's a couplet that's 7-7. The first stanza is called a hoko.
You're making these words up.
it forms the word haiku.
That's awesome.
But the interesting thing about that is that it's only a haiku if it's about nature or season.
Seasons, yeah. Right. You can talk about frogs for spring or cherry blossoms.
Right, but there has to be a specific, and also, I mean, there has to be that connection to the beauty of nature.
And there is a poet that took that format and started writing about human nature and made it really cynical, and that's called a Senryu, which is a 575, but it's about human nature.
Interesting.
And if they take that and put it on a picture, it is a haiga.
Huh.
So all these different really weird things. There are others that are Japanese
love to categorize things to the most specific, minute detail. Yeah.
There's Tonka, Katuata, Choka.
All right, now I know that Tonka is a truck.
No, it's a buffalo.
Tatonga.
I'm making
Tatonga.
The horns with my fingers, it's you guys. Tatonga.
But it's just really interesting to me all the different ways that people figure out how to write in the different cultures, whether it's French or English or German, just all over the world, the different formats. Kind of digging into that and figuring what restrictions they put on you and trying to be creative within those restrictions. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Because that's what poetry is most of the time. I mean, unless it's free form, or what my poetry professor used to call word vomit, as in just because you vomit words onto a page doesn't make it a poem. Mm-hmm. A poem has a point. A poem has like a form. Even if it's free form, a poem has structure. Like you have to have meant what you said. All right, so question number 4. What is your favorite sandwich?
My favorite sandwich is from Primanti Brothers in Pittsburgh. So Primanti Brothers, they started in the Strip District, so there were a lot of truckers coming through delivering things. And what they would do is they would put the entire meal on the sandwich.
Oh.
So that they could take that and
sure.
And go. They make a sandwich that is their capicola and egg sandwich.
Ooh.
Has to be my favorite. It's kind of a spiced ham.
Yeah, capicola is good.
And it's got a fried egg on top of it.
We've argued that fried egg is like a player up for an upgrade for a sandwich. So
it's on fresh cut Italian bread.
All right,
nice crusty Italian bread. And on the sandwich they put French fries, coleslaw, and tomato.
Oh, what? That sounds incredible.
So
French fries on the sandwich?
Yeah.
Like, oh my god.
Like Tim just came in his pants.
What? That doesn't even make any sense.
It's teen.
Is it open face?
No, it's just very large.
Like a big old
mind blown.
I'm holding my hands apart a lot. I keep doing things. I'm
French
tired.
French fries on a sandwich, I don't understand.
That sounds incredible. That sounds so
it's
good.
It's amazing. And it's kind of like a sweet, almost coleslaw with a bite to it.
Good coleslaw. Yeah. Good coleslaw.
Right. You said that they went to this place on some show.
Man vs. Food they stopped there.
And we have a link to it that we'll put in the show notes.
Yeah,
you can see
that.
It. Awesome.
Yeah. Amazing sandwich.
Question number 5 is, what is the stupidest thing anyone's ever said about your atheism?
So when I was in college, I got dragged along to some like mingling things, just trying to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a girl there walking around. I think she was wearing like 2 or 3 cross necklaces.
2 or 3.
Because that makes you more devout. The more crosses you wear, the more devout
you are. She just hates Jesus that much.
Yeah. She's terrified of vampires.
And she was loudly talking about like her religion, the church she goes to, and things like that. And at one point, she came over to talk to me. And we were chatting, and she was talking about the church she goes to. And she asked what church I went to, and I said, well, I really don't go to church. And she replied, well, we can fix that.
Good.
So
it's nice to know
there's
that
a problem there.
Yeah, if you don't believe in God, you're broken. There's a God-shaped hole.
Yeah.
There's a God-shaped hole that's not being filled.
I fill mine with dicks. Well, dick. On that note, you guys, I didn't preface this by saying this, and I should have. It's fucking hot today, and
holy
we are
shit.
It's like 10 o'clock and we're already all sweating through our stuff and exhausted.
Molly and I kind of stayed up till like midnight or 1 watching the new episode of the Capaldi.
We got 4 hours of sleep last night, and now it's the hottest day of the year so far.
Yeah,
and just
for
awesome.
You just for you audience members, we turned off the air conditioning in the trailer.
Yeah, so you wouldn't hear it. So
we've slowly been cooking.
I'm sweating my clam off here, so I think we're gonna call it. Eric, it's been really wonderful having you. I'm I am so grateful that you were my amateur, because that was my first time coaching and you made it really easy. I'm really glad you're on cast, and I think that you've been an incredible addition both to Fearless and to Vilten and the Renaissance Festival. So
thank you.
And I'm glad you're an atheist, because then I don't have to be like, ugh, great, Eric Thompson.
Yeah, don't stop not believing.
Yeah, don't. Yeah. All right, damn it. Damn it, Tim.
Don't stop not believing.
Hold on to that atheism.
You, the Citizens Band needs to make that
happen. Yeah, you need to feed me to fuck that shit. All right, this has been Geeks Without God. We have been in the glamorous RenFest trailer. Come on out to the Renaissance Festival and see us. We are Thomas, Olive, and Beefcake. Our guest here is Pietro the Poet. You can see Vilification Tennis at 12:30 on the Bear Stage. You can see the Dregs several times a day at Folkestone and Max Pub.
Yeah, Max Pub at 11 o'clock, 3:30, and 5, and at Folkestone Pub at 2.
Yep, and the rest of us, there's a wine walk if you want to take this swirl sip stroll. It's a little bit extra money, but it's totally worth it. And Pietro, along with Jenny and Lady Francesca, who's also in Ville, will be your hosts there.
I will say the Dregs will play any song that you request for $5. So come out, give us $5 and ask for Don't Stop Not Believing.
Yeah, even if they don't know it.
We'll sing it.
If they don't know it, they'll sing it. I have evidence. I made them do something once and it was pretty awesome. So again, thank you everyone for your ratings on iTunes. It's been really great. Keep it going. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Catholicism is like scared straight. Sit down. Kneel. Stand back up. Kneel down. Sit down. Stand back up.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I gotta get this rock out of my boot before I go insane.